a reading from Whispers from Eternity. Number 116, a prayer demand for devotion. O Father, I hold my heart in my folded hands. Teach me to saturate my prayers with thy love. Give me the simple, sincere devotion of thee, of a child. Teach me to realize thee just behind the voice of my prayer. Teach me to feel thy breath flowing with my breath. Teach me to cognize thy presence in my emotions. Teach me to perceive thy wisdom in my understanding. Teach me to sense thy all-pervading life in my life. O flood my senses with thy light. Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know, I'm Vivica Devi, and it's really a blessing for my husband James and I to be with you today. We live here in the Palo Alto community and serve here, and it's a joy to be with you online and also a handful of dear friends here in the temple. The teaching today, the reading, there's so many different parts of it as I was preparing for the talk today. And something that I've noticed each time, and sometimes it's, I think there is always a little bit of humor to what you think you might say, what you feel you might speak on, is quite often very different than what ends up happening. So James and I recently gave a talk, and we both said a little bit, you know, we knew the theme, and what will you say? Yeah, this is kind of what we're thinking. And afterwards, James said to me, "You didn't seem like you said anything you said you were going to say." I said, "I noticed that. I noticed that as I was speaking, I didn't think I was going to say this." And I asked, "How was it?" "Oh, it was very good. Yeah, it was nice." And so there's this practice of surrender and welcoming the grace of God as much as we can. And I feel that in speaking and teaching, there really is an absolute awareness of needing God and needing that grace in order to share these teachings. It's a great privilege to do so. So I was reminded, right on theme with this, of Swamiji talking about him. You know, we say so often, God is the doer, and, well, what does that exactly mean? And so he tested it, and it's remarkable to me. Just hearing about it, it's remarkable. And then anytime I'm speaking, it becomes more remarkable that he would pause in silence and wait for God to speak. And he tells the story because what he realized is that, okay, yes, God is the doer and God's grace is the transforming power, but we have our part. And God can't speak through us if we aren't speaking. We have to speak. We have to act. We have to do our part in the journey of awakening. This song this morning that Keshava and Saiganesh sang, so beautiful. If you want to pray, still the mind. If you want to pray, still the soul. And the words alone, for me, created a sense of stillness, of divine stillness. As I was taking them in, I was very reminded, stilling the mind and stilling the soul, very difficult to do, very difficult, I think it just passed, very difficult to do on my own. I really need grace for that. And when I've experienced a stillness of the mind and a stillness of the soul, I've always identified that as a divine grace. There's always been the sense, we speak in yoga of the little self, the egoic identity, that it wasn't that part of me that quieted my mind. There's a story in India of a disciple, I don't know if we'd call him a disciple, let's say a student, who went to a great teacher, wanted to learn meditation. The teacher said, I've heard so many versions of this, but, you know, focus on your breath. Okay, he goes away. So it's part of so many. It's part of also meditation technique we teach here that Yogananda spoke of. So he goes away and he comes back and he just felt like it was awfully simple. What a simple instruction. Couldn't you give me more? Oh, now I'm remembering this part. Anyways, how it gets told different ways. But he said to him, oh, there's one thing I forgot to mention. Don't think of monkeys. Whatever you do, don't think of monkeys. So focus on the breath, but don't think of monkeys. Oh, okay, that was odd instruction. He goes away. And of course, all he can think of are monkeys, right? Every kind of monkey. Monkeys he wasn't even aware of coming into his consciousness. And he came back and said, why did you give me that instruction? You know, I couldn't, all of my meditation was filled with monkeys. And the teacher was pointing out to him, you know, the mind itself, Keshava gave a beautiful talk on this, it can't get us to where we're going. And it's important that we have an attitude of humility about that, that we recognize the limits of the effort that we put out. We need to put out effort. We need to do all that we can do. And then recognize we need God's grace, the Guru's grace, to lift us and help us go all the way. My very first retreat with Ananda, I remember so clearly this message. And Biraj was teaching the retreat, and he showed us a ladder and was saying, you know, for divine realization, we climb the rungs of that ladder through our effort, through the knowledge, through our part of, you know, following the teachings. And then you'll reach a point where you can't climb any further. And you need to open and lift and welcome and ask for grace to lift you the rest of the way. I was really reminded of that in our reading today. That, let me just go to that part of it. Actually, I think I pulled a couple of things. So this is a reading from Intuition for Starters from Swami Kriyananda. He said, the essential attitude for correct meditation is one of listening. The mind must be kept receptive because we can't think our way into deep meditation, nor indeed can you think your way to true guidance. And truth must be perceived in that calm awareness, which is super consciousness. Meditation then is not creating answers. It is perceiving them or receiving them. And this is the secret of true guidance. So this practice of humility, this practice of bringing ourselves to our prayer, to our meditation, to our life with an intention to be guided and to be in a place of balancing what I can do and what the divine can do. I was reminded of a quote from that's often spoken of in the 12-step community, where it's a very simple prayer, very simple quote, I can't, God can, I'll let him. So you just remind yourself, I can't, God can, I'll let him. The tricky part of that is it's not about passivity. I'm not saying that prayer so that, okay, you do it all and I won't put forth any effort. It isn't that. It's reminding the student, the devotee, that willpower is needed, but the kind of willpower that is open and receptive to a cooperative relationship with God, with the divine, with the masters. Yogananda spoke often and clarified willpower, and he was such a dynamic speaker. If you've ever had the opportunity, I've heard others say this, it was true for me, startling the power that comes through him in his voice. It wasn't always booming, Swamiji said. And there were times when his speech was more intimate and relaxed in smaller settings. But nevertheless, he spoke with power. He spoke with that divine energy. And when he was speaking of willpower, he reminded us that it's not a clenched fist. I'm not, you know, again, doing it all myself. I'm learning how to put forth dynamic energy and listen for grace. feel that sense of it coming together and being a quality of one. The affirmation today about self-control, it feels very fitting to me for this, because I was reminded of a talk that Devrishi gave, and it was a talk on Kriya Yoga, but he was sharing about an attitude with meditation, an attitude with practice, and the power of divine grace, that when we're tapping into that, to remember our effort is important, but the effort is about drawing to us the power that can transform us. So he told us a story of, he didn't mention what the issue was, but he said he had an issue that he worked diligently on for about 10 years. He did everything, and I'm sure, I can't remember if he mentioned that he went to spiritual teachers here, but I'm sure that he did. So he used all the tools and all the practices. He did his part. He saw no improvement. Just none. He did nothing. There it was. There was the issue 10 years later, as strong as ever. And he really just gave up and said, okay, I'm not getting anywhere with this. And it's not, I can't do it. So he put it to the side of his consciousness. He put it to the side of his awareness and said, I'll focus instead on my Kriya practice, which, for those who don't know, is a meditation technique Yogananda brought to the West, a way to know God. It is a way to be self-realized, to awaken fully in the true nature of who we are, which Swamiji said in the readings today, that part of the problem that we encounter is we misidentify our reality. I feel like I'm the challenges that I'm in. Is, as James was reading, if my body is not well, I think I'm not well. If I have difficulty in the material realm financially, I think I'm poor. It's an extraordinary ability, and it's certainly a practice for us to affirm something other than that. Yogananda said, die believing that you are whole, because you are. This physical body will pass away. It's not a failure. It's a reality. Swamiji also said on the human level, and again, this is very individual, each one of us with our own karma, but as a rule, we should do all that we can to take care of this life. And especially once we've come to a spiritual path, that's no small thing, to realize that we need divine grace, to come to teachings of masters, to be willing to hear them, then do all you can to utilize this opportunity. And when that time comes where this physical incarnation has run its course, Asha has talked about that one of the ways what happens for the soul is it really is finished with this incarnation, this personality, the circumstances of life, all the things that have happened have been utilized up, and now we need it's time to grow. It's time to move on. Our astral ascension ceremony speaks of this. But this work is done now, soul. You are free. So we journey with this awareness. And the idea, back to Devrishi, that he put it aside and wasn't identifying with the problem, wasn't thinking about it at all. But okay, you know, surrender in the highest sense. I'll rededicate myself to life. I'll rededicate myself to Kriya. And what he was reminding all of us is the power of God. He said a few months into his practice, that's all he was focusing on. This is meditation, his sadhana, whatever our spiritual practices are, this teaching, this guideline, I feel is universally helpful. So dedicating himself, at a certain point, it occurred to him this issue that really had plagued him for over a decade, and he'd worked on it for a decade. It certainly was existed before that, was gone. Gone. And he just had a moment of realizing, he didn't do it. What did it? And what he attributed to the freedom of that, from that issue, was God's grace. And he got there through the practice of devotion, giving himself to the practices, dedicating his energy to I think of Swamiji in this sense of being a disciple, like trusting the power of the tools and the teachings and the way of life, the yogic way of life. I find that having satsang with friends, whether that's in person, which is such a blessing to begin to be able to come back and be near each other again physically, but also whether I'm, you know, seeing friends online in classes, the energy of this collective commitment of the promise of God, the promise of immortality. We'll go through this in our Festival of Light today. It's been an amazing course that Viraja Lahari put together on the Festival of Light, different teachers speaking each week on aspects of the festival. I've always loved the festival, but it's brought it to another level for me that I'm grateful for. I hear those teachers, those lines they've pulled out and expanded. Swamiji received the festival as a divine inspiration, and it has great power in it, which is why we say it and go through it every week. So this practice of, let me finish up maybe with the self-will, this idea that self-control is something that I commit to and I practice and I learn. I learn through experience this teaching that self-indulgence does not bring freedom. The first thing I thought of when I read that was my own experience with amusement parks, which I've loved amusement parks when I was younger. I absolutely loved them. And James and I, early in our dating, that would be a really fun thing that we would do. And I remember there have been a few times. An amusement park is such a great example because I think many have had this experience where at the start of the day, you're full of excitement and enthusiasm of all the things you'll see, all the things you'll do. And then, and we see this with people at the beginning coming through the gates, whichever park it is. Lots of energy, lots of excitement, and the end of the day dragging. And the end of the experience, like you just barely have anything to make it back to the car, to go home, or if you're staying somewhere to make it back to the hotel, if you're drained, there's just nothing left. I remember being with a friend in my 20s. She and I were at Disneyland, and towards the end of the park, we were laying on opposite benches. There was a walkway between us, and we're lying on our backs. I don't know how much we've managed to do of our plan for the day. We're just calling to each other through the bench. Do you feel like doing anything else? Like, I think I have to go back to the hotel. I mean, it was a fun and happy experience, but it really is telling to what happens when we're so outward in seeking happiness and fulfillment. A few years ago, James and I created what we called the California Tour. We didn't go all that far, but it was our 25th wedding anniversary. We wanted to do something special. So we went to Disneyland. It's been so long since either of us had been there. And then we went to Carmel. We had three phases, and we ended at the Expanding Light for spiritual renewal. And we thought, and it was interesting. I know we were conscious in our plan, but we really noticed by the time we got there, like, oh, this was really an outward journey to an inward journey. And we were ready for it by the time that we got there. But we were at Disneyland 3 days. It didn't seem like all that long. Boy, were we ready to go, right? We were just ready to go. And one of the things that happened in one of our days there was being on a roller coaster. And then James in particular not feeling well after. I was kind of like, ugh, that doesn't feel good. Now I know part of that's age. But it's more than that. It's really the teaching that too much outward depletes. And rather than us coming away with a sense of shining inner freedom and strength, which yogis manifest, that's the interesting thing. The path of self-renunciation, path of self-realization to the worldly consciousness looks so austere. It looks like giving up, giving up, giving up. And we need to meet ourselves where we are and be, I find guidance is so important, internal guidance and trusted teacher guidance of what's my next step. I cannot rely on my conscious mind to guide me here. And because the conscious mind is inclined to likes and dislikes, So it will choose, it won't choose the highest. Intuition I have found will, but I still like to check that out with my teachers. I'm feeling guided. So what I've noticed is asserting the will and effort is that I am taking a step that feels challenging. So I really need to engage and do it, but I can do it. Now, sometimes I'll feel from master guidance that I think, really, I can? Well, I can't, but grace can get me there. What I can do is say yes to it. So all of these thoughts were in my mind with our affirmation and our reading today. The soul's long journey back to its home in God and how that plays out individually for us. I hope that it's been helpful today for you. And I would say, in closing, what I've been practicing, and I offer this for everyone, this listening to putting out the effort to take your next step spiritually, to be engaged in a way that it feels challenging and difficult, and invite the grace of God to come in and strengthen you and support you as you take that step. We all remember in this journey of our own divine self. Any blessings?
Come here while I sing you of emerald hills, of valleys and meadows so fair, that all who have seen them have carried away memories in their hearts, friends, like the lilacs of May. Oh, my song is the story of the lilacs of May. My song is the story of deer on the hills, of larks that soar seeking the sun, of nightingales lifting the curtain of night, as with music they bring down heaven's blessing of light. Oh, my song is the story of God's blessing of life. Come join me in singing of that emerald isle, of flowers that like jewels besprinkle the vee, of waterfalls eager to embrace the wide sea, as we with our Maker united would be. As we with our Maker reunited would be. Come here while I sing you of emerald hills, of valleys and meadows so fair, that all who have seen them have carried away memories in their hearts, friends, like the lilacs of May. Oh, my song is the story of the lilacs of May.